There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Questions to you before we introduce our special guest to our listeners here this morning, because it's a privilege, it's rather something of an honour to have him in studio. It's nice to have guests in studio with us here on the agenda this morning. But food, let's start with food and where you're at with this, Hanan. Let's start with food waste. Are you one that keeps an eye on the waste that you are generating within your own home?
As in,
are you guilty of wasting?
Yeah, well, actually, I always try to buy less, so I don't waste too much. But the other thing I do, which is probably quite bad, is I keep things a bit long because I feel so bad about throwing them away if I haven't managed to eat them. So my husband goes mad with me because he's like, there's no nutrients left in that bit of coriander that is sort of, you know, wilted. But I feel really guilty, so I am conscious, and I have tried to start really planning my meals so I know more about what I'm going to eat, so I don't waste. I hate wasting food.
Good on you. We've also got Schroots in studio with us as well, as was mentioned as well. So similar as well, are you more conscious of it these days, or are you guilty of wasting too much food?
I think I try not to, when I go out to eat, I try and finish what's on my plate, and I try not to waste food as much as possible. But I feel like because I live alone, there is a lot of things that I buy which I don't end up using, because sometimes there's no option to buy one or two. You have to buy a whole bunch of things. And I feel like while living alone, sometimes if you're not freezing it within time, you end up wasting it. So I'm guilty of that, and I am trying to work on it and, you know, trying not to waste a lot of food.
We are looking at some of the figures that are coming through at the moment. Between 2011 and 2015, 103 local organic farms were certified by the Emirates Authority for Standardisation and Meteorology, ESMA, here in the UAE, yielding a total of 2,701 organic products grown here. That is an advance, a move in the right direction, but is enough being done for local producers? That's one of the topics that we're going to deal with. But also, of course, as was mentioned just then, food waste here in the region. Three major hotel operators have pledged to cut down on waste and save 1 million meals by the end of this year. Emma, Masjid Al Futtaim and Ratana have all joined an Environment Ministry drive to reduce the amount of food being thrown away. It's a concern not just for hotel operators who operate on large scales, but also down to the individual. And how much responsibility do we bear? So what do you do in your households? I'd love you to share your thoughts with us by getting involved in the conversation. I mentioned that we have a man in the know in the studio as well. He's here in the UAE, helping to educate not just chefs but us as well on the benefits of microgreens, but also the beauty of vegetables and the protein that can be taken from vegetables. He's a member of the Master Chefs of Great Britain, practices within his lifestyle a good sense of well-being, uses various ingredients, very creative recipes, marrying them into his but also our spiritual need for food nourishment. A man who has been a regular on TV shows, on radio shows the world over, and is now, I love this business card, I must say, and we get a number of business cards here in the studio, but this one I love. He is the architecture aromatique of Copper Cress. He is Paul Da Costa Greaves, joins us live in the studio. Paul, thanks so much indeed for being with us.
You're most welcome, and it's wonderful to be here in the UAE.
What's an architecture aromatique?
It's based around architecture, the structure of the plant, and aromatique, the aroma that the plant gives off.
I mean, just before we get into this one, we've got so many topics to address with you, and thanks again for coming into the studio rather than doing this over the phone. Much appreciated. Because talk to us about Copper Cress. What does Copper Cress do?
Copper Cress is a global company which was founded in the Netherlands, and we grow microgreens, which was based around to make the chefs create interesting and exciting dishes for the customers. But it's a lot more than that, because it focuses on health, nutrition, and the power of the plant. Certainly in parts of the world, we have a lot of ready meals and spices available, but that's not possible globally. And the power of the plant is used medicinally, but also as an ingredient.
We're going to jump into the power of the plant. The other phrases that you've already inspired me with, love your freezer, amongst others. We're going to dive into those during the course of our conversation. But let's just set your agenda at the moment, because you're a very well-travelled man. You travel the world with your art and your passion as well. What are you doing here in the GCC? What are you doing in the UAE at the moment?
I'm here in the in Dubai. As I say, I come over quite regularly, every couple of months. And the main focus is education. We see globally that the chefs coming through a lot of the culinary schools are really being pushed forward quite quickly without the substance in knowledge and education. And Rob Barn, who founded Copycrets, is very much on the basis of education. And being at an age of my culinary chef status, is we see the decline. So by combining vegetables based around 80%, focusing on the chefs and the students is giving them that culinary knowledge.
Loads of food for thought. That's the first of many puns and cliches. I can guarantee that one. Don't worry about that. But just one quick one before we go to the break from you, Paul, because that's something you just said there really struck me. You know, you deal with a lot of young, you know, the industry that is cooking, the industry that is culinary art at the moment is a lot more attractive to young men, young women coming through culinary colleges the world over, looking to make a name for themselves. But you're talking there about continuing the education. Do you find that sort of students are coming out knowing the basics, but they're sort of sticking to those basics and not really thinking out of the box as to how to properly use that product?
Yeah, absolutely. And what we do is we try not to, we don't teach the chef to cook, because the chef's quite protective. But what we do is that we show them to look at the peripheral vision rather than the tunnel vision. And by incorporating various opportunities and bringing them in is what is available, certainly in the plant world and the vegetable world. It just makes it a little bit more attractive. And this, and the beautiful thing about the UAE is that a lot of European chefs are coming in, and by us being here, we're bringing in the new trends and showing them what's available in Europe, and that's excitable for the chefs here in Dubai.
We'll have more from Paul in just a few moments' time. If you've got any questions for he, then feel free to text them through to us now on 4001. But I'm also asking you this morning for your thoughts on food waste here in the UAE and the products that we use to nourish ourselves on a daily basis. We've got the man who practices what he preaches here in the studio. He'll be telling us more in a few moments' time. And in fact, get yourself onto at Dubai I1038FM, because not only does Paul practice what he preaches, he also wears what he preaches as well. He is wearing a truly extraordinary jacket this morning, which I think really does sort of personify what he's all about. I know that's not great radio because you're asking us to paint a picture, so we're going to use social media and put a picture up there for you to show you exactly what we're talking about. Thanks very much indeed to all of you that are sending in your thoughts thus far with regards to food here in the UAE. A lot of people coming in with recommendations of local producers that you'd like us to shine a light on. We will do exactly that a little later on in the show. But I want to find out more about the mission of our special guest in studio first. He is one of the master chefs of Great Britain, Paul DaCosta Greaves. He's here wearing his Copycrets jacket and hat as well today. And I mean, I mentioned there about the jacket just before we went to the break, Paul. And is that something, is that a sort of fair assumption that you are a man who practices what you preach? You believe wholeheartedly in what you are trying to tell, not just chefs, but also individuals?
Absolutely. I think when you're in the position that you're in, you've got a lot of young students that are searching for education, but searching in the way their path should be leading in this industry, which is the hospitality is a really cool industry to be in. And a lot of people don't realise how cool it is. But as I say, but in that position, by getting the chef inspired or the student inspired, and you know, so they're showing different possibilities of the way you're looking at food and how they approach food, is quite a cool combination.
I'm here for to be converted, because I suppose I'm something of a. I mean, when I was having a little read up about Copycrets, about you, about microgreens, I'm thinking, you know, I like my food, I go out and about, but for me, microgreens have always been garnish. Am I wrong? Shall I get out now? Shall I do one?
No, you know what? Absolutely, you're correct. A lot of people use them as garnish, and it drives me mad. Absolutely. We're not the garnish. Absolutely not the garnish. We're part of the ingredient. And if and what we do is we teach and we train the chefs, not only the students, but the chefs as well, is not to put their hand in the candy jar and sprinkle it over like confetti. As I say, one, it's going to be expensive. And secondly, the power of the plant, it's so strong, it's so powerful that it's just going to mess your food
up. Even in microform, though?
Absolutely. Even in the microform. If you take this a step to one side, if you look at nature and the animal kingdom, have you ever seen an animal program where the tall giraffe is stretching its neck to the naked bush, and all that's at the top of that bush is that small little sap seedling that it's stretching just to get to, and there's a big bush next to it, because nature provides it in micro form because it has packed full of nutrients.
I mean, for those, let's just take another step back if we can, for those that are out there going, what on earth are they talking about? What is a microgreen? Maybe you could give us the sort of 101 on that.
The microgreen, I mean, there's always a conception, what's the difference between a microgreen and a cress? A microgreen is a small plant, which is basically a small condensed form that's going to grow into a big, huge plant. But the cress is a typical that we always tend to find a lot of urban farmers or vertical farmer companies grow a lot of the cress because it's a small, condensed commodity, and it's not going to grow anything more. Like your mustard and cress, it'll only go to a certain size, and that's it. But we deal in the microgreens because, obviously, with the power and the nutritional value.
I'm a father of three, and all three of my children are now of an age that they've stopped growing their own cress, but at some point during their educational career, they all came back with a couple of seeds and put some cotton wool down, much as we did when we were growing up as well. So we've all grown cress at some point in our lives. Could we grow micro herbs as well or not?
Yeah, absolutely. And coppercress have identified that because the world is changing, and a lot of what was available many years ago is sort of put restrictions now. So there's a lot more people living in a lot of apartments at the moment that don't have access to outdoor space. So we've been created, small little grow your own kits that they can grow at home. And that's always very popular. And it is getting back in touch because I think when you're actually growing something, you feel that you've achieved that something as well. And you're nurturing that product.
You've brought some of the product in with you as well, in front of you as well, so you can prove it to us. We'll get some pictures out there on site as well. I mean, the other thing I suppose to mention, just from what I can see in front of me at the moment, is that I'm thinking microgreens. I'm thinking, let's make that differentiation between cress and microgreens. But given the produce in front of you, it goes much further than that.
Absolutely. We have some specialties as well. and the specialties are things like, we have a pitcher plant here, which is the Venus Vase. It's not an edible plant, but we use it as a vessel because the world is trending with bartenders. A lot of chefs like using it to put sauces in. A lot of customers like this new innovation, this trending. And the chefs we're trying to build a gap between the chef and the bartender because when you start looking at sustainability, both worlds collide and you can have a good recipe.
And this goes a lot further than just using a stem of celery as an alternative stirrer for a particular drink or something like that. This goes into the very sort of nature of the drink itself.
Absolutely. For example, when we look at sustainability, it is the key element, certainly with coppercress, because we're very aware that within plants that you will have some wastage that come off. So what we do is that we tend to harvest that, and then we would macerate it, and we create vinegars for the oversized crops.
Okay, yeah.
So we're completely taking it all the way right through without no wastage. One of the other elements that we grow a plant which is a spilanthus plant, and it's a numbing and a tingling plant, which is like a yellow-headed daisy to describe. Chefs really like it because it's electricity, but chefs are very consistent because they always like it one particular size. So the oversized, the undersized, we gather and they go to some trending bartenders and they vaporize the electricity to make drinks for bartenders.
We're going to go to the news headlines now. We're going to come back and talk more about keyword that you just mentioned there, sustainability and the big campaigns against food waste here in the region at the moment. I know that's something that you're very passionate about. Before we do that then, just one more point of definition if you can, because I heard you mention there and I've seen that you also deal with edible flowers. And we've talked a lot about new sources of nutrition, new food sources, going looking at those new food sources moving forward at the moment. Are edible flowers, although they've been used in food, again, use that G word if I may, garnish in the past, etc., are they becoming more readily available? And again, are they classed as a microherb or are they a different food source per se?
It's a different food source per se. I mean, pretty much people like putting the flowers on the plate because they look pretty. And I always say, I'm like a flower. I look pretty, but I have no taste, as you can see what I've got on.
I don't know about that.
but there's but it is... We're finding the floral notes that the flowers have really uplift a lot of these salads and have that freshness and, you know, summertime's here. And they do give an element of aroma to the dish, which is quite cool.
We're going to have more from our special guest in studio, Paul Da Costa Greaves. Now, Paul has been involved in food waste campaigns in the UK and in other parts of the world. So it'll be interesting to get his thoughts on the campaigns here in the region. And given the fact that he is educating chefs that are coming through the college system, but also established chefs here in the region, how much of that education process needs to be done, not just for the way that we consume our food, but for those that are preparing food back of house for us as well. Paul Da Costa Greaves is with us here. He of Copper Cress, of all things microgreens and more. He's here to cleanse our souls spiritually, amongst others. We're getting a lot of questions coming in already on this one, Paul, so maybe you could answer a few of these.
Absolutely.
Somebody has texted in. This one's come from Ramya out there. It says, are microgreens the same as sprouts, and are they both nutritious?
They come from a similar family, absolutely. The phyla or the sprouters. Certainly in the Western world, we're finding that if you go into the independent health shops, you will always see the sprouts, which is part of the phyla group, and they are very nutritious for you, absolutely. So if you can't get the microgreen, then certainly those little seedlings will do you just as well.
Wayne's been in touch as well. He's texted us on 4001 saying, I swear by microgreens. Nice to hear somebody out there who does exactly the same. He says, in fact, I've found studies have shown, depending on variety, microgreens are more concentrated in nutritional value than their mature counterparts.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's quite interesting that your guest has just mentioned that, because one of our finales is that we have some broccocress, and then we give the students it to taste, and we say to them, please nibble on it like your daisy, and just count how many cresses you're eating. And then at the end, we show them a study, and one piece of cress is 90 times more powerful in the sulfur refrain than one head of broccoli.
Wow. Let's talk food waste if we can for a moment, and let's talk broccoli, because as I mentioned earlier on, you know, father of three, I've had a few struggles trying to get the kids to eat the broccoli during their days, and of course their cauliflower as well. Is my struggle, and they'll eat the sprouty bits at the top, they just won't eat the stems, and it drives me mad because I'm not one for food waste, and you finish everything on your plate. That's the way I was brought up over in the UK, and try and instill that in my kids. However, having said that, is that the same sort of problem that's going on behind the scenes, back of house as well? Are we wasting parts of our vegetables?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's quite interesting because when we do these culinary academies, we focus on food wastage, which is a big part, because if you're a budding chef and you really want to open up your own restaurant, you're not each time you... We always say to the chefs, if you've got, say, like a cauliflower, for example, if we use that as an emphasis, or the broccoli, and you're just using the florets, that piece of stem, if you put some value to that, that's possibly certainly a fair few dirhams that you're chucking away in the bin. So I always say, don't look at it as a vegetable. put a value to that? And realistically, would you put any money in the bin? Absolutely not.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we talk food waste, and there are these huge hashtag zero food waste campaigns going on at the moment. I mentioned earlier the three major hotel operators pledging to cut down on their waste. But that, I think, is driven by the food that we see on iftar buffets, that we see on Friday lunch buffets, that we see during suhoor buffets in a number of these major hotels and elsewhere. What we don't see, I suppose, is the ingredients that are going into the bin before they've even hit those buffets as well. Is that part of the sort of your mandate to change?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always a classic because if you take the cauliflower or the broccoli, it's always the biggest thing. The chefs always cut off the florets and the stem goes in the bin. Mm. However, they're always using daily soups, as an offering. So, you know, absolutely, the it's quite easy to blend and put together into a soup. But the most interesting thing is that what we do is we take a very fine mandolin and we slice the stem into very fine shavings and we put them in immersed in ice water. When you take them back out, they're very crunchy, they're like crisps, and, you know, they're really a cool and trendy way that you can just nibble on as a great little salad addition.
In terms of the sort of nutritional value of a stem or other parts of the vegetable as well, is there this sort of misconception that the goodness is in the green bit at the top as opposed to the stem? Do we still get nutritional value from the stem?
You still get nutritional value in the stem, absolutely. And I think it's just we've defragmented ourselves away from what is... it looks more appetizing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It looks more appetizing to use the florets, and the stem is... we see that as part of the wastage.
Mm. And what about herbs? Because herbs, you know, obviously a lot of people like to use herbs. Should you use the stems for them as well? I know, like with coriander, you're supposed to use the stem, but
it depends which herbs. But it's interesting you talk about the herbs because I always tend to find when I was going around and visiting a lot of households, you would always see a manky glass of dirty water with some coriander. Or some herbs sat on the side, and then they take it and put it into the bin. And the most easiest way is, so you're not going to have any wastage, is choose the herbs that you like. And I do it when I'm at home. I always have a nice selection. I always get some flat parsley, have some coriander, as I say, various other, you know, some basil, etc. And then rather than chop it finely, I make sure it's clean, but then I just roughly chop it, put a knife through it, just roughly mix it all up, and then I take small pieces of cling film and I make a small plush of the herbs, put them in, roll them up into a small little ball and pop them in the freezer. Mm. So I've used the whole amount of the herbs, especially with the coriander. And I suppose with the cilantro is you really enjoy that, but it turns really quickly. When you're then using it to cook with, the last minute that you're just about to serve up your dish, if you then take one out of the freezer and just undo the cling film, pop the herbs into there, you've still got that wonderful fresh burst of fresh herbs.
Wow, so it still gives it the same?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's exactly the same, is it?
Yeah, without no wastage.
Because there's so much, I'm always throwing away herbs, like they go very quickly. Is that, and that works with mint, coriander, parsley, all of them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you've got something wet and you've put it straight into the freezer, then it's going to go soggy and it's going to go bruised. So you really need to make sure that you're conciting it down into the actual cling film.
You use the F word there, and it's interesting you use the F word because we've had a number of people texting in about freezer as well. There's a concern on faces there. Did I? No. We're fine. But a lot of people, C's just texted in and says, coming from Germany, having been brought up by post-Second World War generation parents, I'm used to utilise food as often as possible, and one concept which seems unknown to some is the F word, freezer, as well. Do we understand how to use our freezers?
I think it's easier not to. And we find certainly with the home-growing not so much chefs, but the family lifestyle is, you know, it's quite attractive to go shopping, buy two, get the third three, keep it in the fridge, and not actually put it into the freezer. But if you actually think about it, if you plan it, and what's always interesting is a few good tips is that if you are going shopping, is make sure you've had your dinner first and do a list, and only buy what you need on the list. And again, the freezer, when you start using it, it is a wonderful addition, and it'll keep you certainly some extra monies in your pocket.
It's interesting you say that. Do you use, you use your freezer?
Yeah, I do use my freezer. My husband doesn't like me using the freezer so much, but I really like using the freezer, yeah.
What is well, is I like to sort of cook up. Or?
No, I mean, I like to cook up sort of, you know, four freeze meals, portions. Freeze two, so that we don't have to cook, you know, every night or whatever, and you take them out. But he sort of was worried that it's not so fresh and you lose nutrients and all that sort of thing. But I do have a tendency to maybe keep them a bit longer.
But I suppose if we're having this wider conversation about food waste and what we could, let's move away from hotel kitchens to what we can do in our own kitchen.
Yeah.
The freezer, I suppose, is your friend in helping you avoid food waste, is it?
Absolutely. But what you've got to remember as well is that there's a lot of people that, you know, due to lifestyle, they live on their own. So if, say, for example, you're going out and you're buying some vegetables and you've taken, say you have some broccoli and some broad beans, for example, or some carrots, if you've taken a small amount, you've got quite a lot left, and say you're not going to be using them until a few days later. I mean, what you could do is prepare them all, put them into hot water, take them out quite quickly, and then put them into little containers and put them in the freezer. So again, you've just sort of blanched them, put them into the freezer, and it's no different than you buying frozen vegetables, but in a more concentrated way. But you're not wasting anything.
These are great tips. Love, I need another freezer.
Love your freezer. Manage it as well. Okay.
I need a small one on the side.
We're going to go to a short break. Got lots of thoughts coming through. If you've got any questions for Paul, he's here with us for the next 15 minutes. So get them in now. He's already given us some great advice on how we can help manage our food wastage at home. But we'll continue this conversation. As I said, a lot of you sharing your thoughts and opinions on food waste here in the region, what can be done about it, but also the loving your veg and what we can, the nutrients we can get from our vegetables. Thanks very much indeed for your text messages. We're in conversation with Paul DaCosta Greaves of Coppet Cress here. We're talking all things food. Just before we went to the break there, we're talking about the worldwide problem of food waste. Thanks very much indeed to you, Vijayenda, for being in touch, saying, turns out that we have access to several technologies to convert food that would have otherwise become waste to higher value edible products just by changing their business models from the linear to the circular. This will not only help them achieve their sustainability targets, but to continue to maintain industry leadership. Vijayanda, thank you very much indeed for that one. I mentioned it was a subject close to Paul's heart because you've been involved in food waste campaigns over in the UK and elsewhere. I mean, this is a global problem at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, absolutely. Especially in the UK, because they have a tendency, certainly a lot of the supermarkets, to have offers on buy two, get the third free, but you really only eat one, and then you're chucking the two lots away. I mean, so what I'd done was is that I went round and I looked how people were shopping, especially around the festive season. It was always quite a classic, because they would go shopping, and it's because it was the festive period, they would overindulge and buy more. And the classic was always, they would always buy some bag of nuts. Don't buy nuts all year round, but at Christmas they tended to do, or the festive period. So it's how we incorporate those elements into recipes, so you're not having any wastage.
In terms of why we've got to this, I mean, is it just human evolution? Is it the fact there is more food on our shelves and our supermarkets? Is it best before dates as well? Why are we throwing more away these days?
It's a mixture, Tom. Unfortunately, we have a couple of decades where, unfortunately, education has changed, certainly for the United Kingdom. I'm not so quite sure with the UAE. But less people coming out not understanding home economics, not understanding love of actually cooking, in the home. So the basic knowledge is pretty much actually best before, used by, I don't know. I just chuck it out.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, education always starts within the schools. But when you're looking at the bigger picture, absolutely, I think also we've become a throwaway society. You know, nothing's lasting, and I think it's very similar with the food.
I just want to get your take also on another element as well, because you know, this is a topic that crops up time and time again here on the agenda, and we often hear about fads in food. We often hear about the trendy diets that are doing the rounds at the moment. You're a man that is steeped in education and educating the culinary classes out there. Do you think there is an understanding or a misconception about the sort of nutritional values of foods? Because you know, you're a man who uses your products to show that people can get their nutrition sources from vegetables. One of those nutrition sources being protein. A lot of people go, hang on, Tom, what are you talking about? Protein doesn't come from vegetable. Is there that misconception?
No, absolutely. And it's quite interesting. If we go back centuries, if we had protein, you'd be quite lucky if you outrun a mammal or you caught a fish. Mm. And that was the stability of how you would get protein. And it's changed because man would be consuming 80% of plants and vegetables and less than 20% of protein. With the amount of restaurants, fast food outlets, that's switched. So we're now consuming over 80% of protein, meat-based, and less than 20% of vegetables. Mm. This is where we're seeing a lot of diabetes. This is where we're seeing a lot of unhealthy diets, because it there's too much protein in that. And you know, by 2050 we're going to be in a big problem, you know, to feed the world. And I think by making a small switch and introducing, maybe if you're eating meat 5 days a week or 7 days a week, by you know doing it every other day is a big change. And you know, but even with Coppercress at our head office, we see the actual amount of food, and we base it around a vegetable based diet. I am using nuts, cereals, and grains, and your protein is less than 90 grams. On a luxury day, to have that as a treat.
It's been a treat having you here in studio. We could talk for hours. Unfortunately, time is against us, though, Paul. You're in town for a little while here, educating those in the industry. Also doing a dinner down at the Emirates Culinary Academy, Management of Culinary Academy.
Yes, absolutely. I'm with the team down at the Emirates Academy. It's a really great honour to, you know, certainly, and, you know, a lot of UK chefs come over here, certainly with Michael Kitts and the what they have
in
education.
Don't know why.
No, absolutely. So it's all based about education. So we're doing a dinner tomorrow night at the Academy with the team. But also, as I say, I'm going to be going off now to the Grosvenor because we've got just under 130 students and chefs waiting for their Cresperience.
The Cresperience. Mm. Look at that. We'll have updates on that one as well. If people have been inspired by what you were saying, if people would like to find out more about microgreens, about the plants that we should love more, then what's the best way for them to get in touch with you and Coppercress?
Certainly, social media is always the greatest opportunity. Instagram, Coppercress, as I say, Twitter, or Facebook, absolutely. Coppercress has a Coppercress Facebook here in the Middle East, which is always cool. But any email channels is always good.
And if people want to try the products themselves, are they available here in the UAE?
Absolutely. You know, you only have to go down to the local markets and they're all present. And certainly from a chef's perspective, you know, they're all readily available through their wholesalers as well.
Paul, it's been a pleasure. Thanks, mate, for coming on in and explaining a bit more, for being our ambassador of all things legumes and vegetables, microgreens and more.
It's been a pleasure.
All the best with the Cresperience.
Thank you.
Cresperience, is it? No?
Yes, yeah, Cresperience.
Cresperience, okay,
yeah,
we'll have that. All the best with that this afternoon. And we've gotten through an entire hour without talking about chocolate as well, which is a benefit, isn't it? We'll have to get you back on about chocolate. So I know there's something that is close to your heart, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Used to make chocolate.
We will we'll get you back on to explain that one. But bless you, thanks very much indeed for being with us here this morning. That was Paul Da Costa Greaves at SOS Chef, or at Coppercress UK if you'd like to find out more on Twitter, but as you said, Instagram and otherwise.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.